Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 16th of September 2021. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome to the almost weekend. Yeah, if you had Friday off, you'd already be celebrating. You'd already be drinking by now. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Thank you for listening. Programming note. For some reason, I had to re-record the intro, but the bot, it was done. I didn't notice this till it was too late. The body of the pod has, it just sounds different. It sounds weird. It sounded much worse. I was able to doctor it as good as it is. But you can't just like record a whole show and then go, oh, I just got to go do that again because it sounded like crap if you did that. So just be aware. Everything will be back to normal tomorrow in any event. Appreciate you listening. Don't forget about the Week in Effing Review. Good Lord. These idiots. Mark Milley. He's going to deserve some weekend effing review treatment at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. Patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. All one word, $5 a month, and you get all the news that's fit to swear the hell about. So don't forget about that. All righty. Thank you to AncientLifeOil.com, of course. AncientLifeOil.com, your home for nothing but the best CBD oil in the business. 100% pure organic CBD oil from AncientLifeOil.com. Not genetically modified. It is organic. All the good things. And it's whatever strength you want. You get to choose the strength. You get to choose the flavor. And at checkout, you enter promo code Derek at checkout and click apply. D-E-R-E-K. Click apply. You get free fast shipping on top of everything else. You literally can't beat the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Go to AncientLifeOil.com. Now, let's get on with the show. And again, apologies for the audio imperfections. There's a lot going on out there, of course. And we've got the General Mike Milley, or Mark Milley, situation unfolding. Right now, there's big testimony up on Capitol Hill. A bunch of former USA gymnasts, well, one current, I guess Simone Biles hasn't announced her retirement yet. They're up there testifying about how Dr. Larry Nassar, shouldn't really call that guy a doctor, Larry Nassar molested them over the course of more than a decade, it seems, and how they told everybody about it. How there was no ambiguity about it. They didn't keep it to themselves. They were very, very forward about what was happening to them and who was doing it. And the U.S. Olympic Committee and the FBI both seemed to drop the ball. Now, I don't know. I haven't researched it completely, but judging by the testimony of the women who are up there today, it seems as though there are FBI agents who changed testimony. They just said, well, we're going to take this in a different direction. We're going to change what the girls told us, what the ladies told us. And that was also coupled with, let's just say, FBI agents sitting down with the U.S. Olympic Committee discussing the possibility of jobs in the security division of the U.S. Olympic Committee, which seems like a massive conflict of interest. Of course, the U.S. Olympic Committee has every reason in the world to keep the fact that they had employed a serial child molester as the team physician and allowed him, after they'd been told that he had was a serial child molester, they allowed him to retire. They allowed him to retire, not be arrested, not be fired, nothing. They just, you know, there's bad publicity, you don't want bad publicity. And that seems to be the mentality that these people had over there at the U.S. Olympic Committee. The question I have is, why in the hell aren't these people all in jail? Why the hell aren't all of these people being hauled away? Why is it that the victims are up there? These stories have been known. These stories are known. Why isn't Congress pulling in the perpetrators, the alleged perpetrators, the people whose job it was, theoretically, to, you know, protect, to enforce the law? But so often we see, as we're seeing more and more these days, selective enforcement of the law. There's very little difference between sitting there and going, well, this guy's a child molester, but if we do this on the hush-hush, I can get a job as head of security for the Olympic Committee. And a prosecutor saying, I just don't want to prosecute this law. I just don't want to. It is all people deciding, people whose job it is to enforce the law, deciding that they're not going to enforce the law for whatever reason. Some people for personal gain, some people for political gain, some people because they're just incredibly stupid and don't understand human nature and they live insulated lives. And if you're a rich liberal who lives in a gated community and a walled house inside that gated community, the idea of putting somebody in jail for selling heroin or beating holy hell out of a store owner because you needed to get money to buy heroin or whatever, you think, well, whose life is that going to improve? Well, it's never going to improve your life. Your life will never be impacted by it. You will never be in a situation, if you're a rich liberal, you will never be in a situation where your next-door neighbor is going to run risk of beating you up so that you can get their, they can get their next fix. The people you're supposed to represent do. But then again, they elect these people. The FBI agents weren't elected in the case of the Olympics, but in the case of the selective prosecution, yes, those people were very much elected. So it is tough to care, to really feel bad about it. That brings us to the recall in California. And you sit there and you say, careful what you wish for. I would say, careful what you vote for. You get what you vote for. In California, unsurprisingly, overwhelmingly, 64% or so, said, no, we want to keep Gavin Newsom. We want to keep Gavin Newsom. Okay, congratulations, you've got Gavin Newsom. Now, this isn't one of those things where you're sitting around going, oh, man, the Democrats really came out. No side really came out. If you know somebody who lives in California or you yourself live in California and you're sitting there going, oh, what are we going to do? Who are you going to be mad at? Don't be mad at Democrats. Be mad at your fellow Republicans. Republicans didn't show up. They could have. They could have easily tossed out Gavin Newsom if they so wanted. They chose not to. Apathy, whatever, stupidity, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that the governor of California will remain the governor of California. Got less than 3 million votes against. A little over 3 million votes for the recall. The vote was 5.8 million to 3.2 million. Now, it's interesting because the number of people who voted for Donald Trump just last year was 6 million. 6,006,429 to be exact. Also, the people who voted for Joe Biden were 11,110,000 out there in California. So you're looking at very low turnout. If Republicans wanted to recall their governor, they could have by simply showing up. They chose not to. So again, you sit there and you go, why is this happening? What is? Well, it's because people don't go out and vote. Democrats didn't show up and vote. Half of them didn't bother to show up that voted for Joe Biden last year, too. So if everybody had shown up, obviously Gavin Newsom probably would have been elected. But not everybody showed up. Just that fewer Republicans bothered to show up. So again, you have to sit there and go, well, it's hard to feel bad for these people. You do it to yourself. It's watching somebody bang their head against a brick wall and then complaining about how they have a headache. Like, okay, well, What do you expect to happen when you're banging your head against a brick wall? You can tell them this a couple of times, and if they keep doing it, you just have to walk away. You just have to go, oh, well, what are you going to do? Now, being here in Maryland, I live in the same situation that a lot of conservatives in California live in. It's not as bad. I've actually got a Republican governor. I think that Republicans in Maryland, and the Republican Party's pretty feckless, so I'm not really sure they could organize their way out of a wet paper bag, to be honest with you. They're very much into infighting. But out in California, they had their chance. They absolutely had their chance, and they blew it. They dropped the ball. They weren't interested. Whatever it was that caused this thing to fail. And you have to sit there and go, well, then I don't care what happens in California. No offense to people who live in California. Leave. Move. And I get it. Oh, my goodness, I live in this area, and the weather's beautiful and gorgeous. And okay, yeah, then stay. It's your choice. California might feel like a prison sometimes, but it is not a prison. It's these people who, and I look at this all the time, and I see this all the time in politics, people who claim and swear up and down that things are going to be different, and oh my goodness, if only we did this and that and the other thing. You had your chance. You had your absolute chance. You had your unequivocal chance to make changes, and you didn't. And this is sadly the story of the Republican Party. And I woke up this morning and I saw a bunch of attacks against Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota. A National Review has a big piece written by an intern, which means that somebody gave it to them. Somebody gave them, because you don't sick an intern on something like this. But they got an intern out there to write a hit piece on Kristi Noem. And you're sitting there going, what the hell are you writing a hit piece on Kristi Noem for? If you're thinking that, you're not alone. I don't know what the hell they're writing a hit piece on Kristi Noem for, except for the fact that there are other people out there, because there's rumors that Kristi Noem is going to run for president in 2024. And there are other Republicans who want to run for president in 2024. Rather than make the case for yourself, they have decided that they view Kristi Noem as a serious threat, and they must destroy her. It's bizarre, because I know a lot of the people who are engaged in these hit pieces. They're doing it. They're tweeting out things. The Federalist website, for example, writes constant. Nothing good to say about Kristi Noem, no matter what. I don't care. You don't have to like Kristi Noem or whatever. Who cares? But if you really have a better candidate, shouldn't you be able to make a case for that better candidate? So 3 years out, 3 years out, and you're that afraid of other candidates that you have to make personal attacks at them and lie about them? You can disagree with them. And this is part of the problem with the Republican Party, and something you don't really see in the Democratic Party, where it's manhood measuring, I guess would be the family-friendly way to put it. It is, I am the arbiter of what is and isn't true conservatism. You know, it's just, we have more of that. You don't see, liberals arguing with liberals, going, no, you're not really a progressive. I'm the more progressive. Progressivism isn't X. Progressivism is Y. You don't see that on the left. Because they all agree, for the most part. And they recognize that, okay, if there is that battle to be had, let's have it, after we vanquish Republicans. Republicans want to have that battle now. I don't know why. Maybe it's because so many of them, those are the only battles they can win. They aren't particularly good at messaging or speaking or anything like that. It's pathetic watching these people try and message liberty. I don't know how hard that is. But they're out there, and they just go, no, this isn't conservative. There was a porn star who attended some Turning Point USA conference a couple of months ago. Or, I don't know, everybody's in porn is considered a porn star. I guess just like every model is considered a supermodel, and every chef, if they've ever even appeared on surveillance footage, they're a celebrity chef or whatever. It's just ridiculous. Words have lost all meaning. But this porn star went to she's apparently conservative Republican, went to the Turning Point thing, And I was having a good time, was invited and paid, no problem at all. And then some people found out about it because she was tweeting about it. And they clutched their pearls. And, oh, my goodness, can you believe this? How dare this is not conservative to have this porn actress there. No, and they threw her out. They invited her to leave. They forcibly removed her from the conference. And there were a lot of people on the right going, well, no conference should have a porn star at it. That's not conservatism. That's not conservative. I'm super conservative, and you got to wear a buttoned-up shirt all the way buttoned up that buttons up over your head. There can't even be the hint of a female figure, let alone sex. No way. And I look at that, and I know some of these people. They are not the bastions of morale. They aren't running for the Pope. Let's just leave it at that, at least when I knew them. Maybe things have changed. But also, do you want to win? Like, do you want to win? That's my question. Do you want to win? Because if you want to win, it is going to take the votes of anybody whose vote you can get. All right? And there are going to be some really bad people. There are going to be some really bad people on both sides. You know why? Because we're a nation of 330 million people. And in 330 million people, some of them are really bad people. Justin, I'm not breaking any news. No need for you to be sitting down when I tell you this. They're going to be very bad people. And if you want to win, you have to win a majority of all the people's votes. Not just, oh, the good people's votes. There's the good people's votes, and then there's everybody else's votes. And we secretly get rid of the everybody else's votes, all the bad people. No, that's not true. Not true at all. Otherwise, Democrats would never get a single vote. So you have to ask yourself, do you want to win? You're not being asked to, and forgive the analogy or the but you don't have to crawl in bed with them to vote with them. Do you want somebody's vote or not? Really bad? Think about the worst, most annoying person you went to high school. Somebody who just makes your blood boil. Their existence. You hate them. God, I can think of, you know, many people. Just like, oh, man, if they were choking, I wouldn't give them the Heimlich maneuver. I want their vote. I don't want to be invited to their birthday party. I don't want them showing up to mine. But I want their vote. Period. End of story. That's what politics is about. And if you can't handle that, if you'd rather be on the high road, I'll take the high road to defeat. Well, congratulations. All the high road gives you, if that's your plan, is a really good view of your defeat. It's wonderful. Look at, they're kicking our butts everywhere, and I can see all of it from up here. It's just amazing. If that's what you want, if that's the life you want, that's the you know, moral superiority and the I feel vindicated because we lost, well, then congratulations. You've got a lot going for you, I assume. But you don't. So you have to decide, do you want to win? Because to win, you're going to have to attract people who agree with your arguments, who you otherwise would not want anything to do with. Period. End of story. You're not being asked to have these people over for dinner. You're being asked to, you're not actually being asked to do anything. You're the one being the insufferable jerk who just knows that people like this exist, and you feel compelled to go out there. A lot of them are preaching to their audiences. Go out there and claim moral superiority. I just wonder what has to be wrong and what went wrong in your upbringing that's what you got to do. There's got to be something terrible. The story about General Milley just won't go away. As much as the left wants, I mean, it just came out, so it's not going away yet. But the left is really desperately trying to make Milley come out as the hero on this thing. It's an amazing bit of acrobaticism, if you can say that. To take an unelected official who decided that he didn't like the President of the United States and was going to actively work against the President of the United States. Milley hasn't had his name on the ballot for anything. He should be fired for that. He should be tried for treason for what he did. The story is from the Washington Post. Top general was so fearful Trump might spark war that he made secret calls to his Chinese counterpart, new book says. Twice in the final months of the Trump administration, the country's top military officer was so fearful that the president's actions might spark a war with China that he moved urgently to avert armed conflict. Now, if you're Mark Milley, and you're that weak, you're that big of a coward or whatever, you're that big of a narcissist is ultimately what it was. And I'm the only one who can save the world. I'm the only thing standing. But if that's what you truly believe, then why didn't you resign? You didn't resign because you thought, I need to be here. I'm the only one who can do this. I'm the only one smart enough to do this. It's a very Stuart Smalley moment. Every morning, General Milley gets up and looks in the mirror and says, I'm the only one who can stop this war because I'm smart enough, I'm bright enough, and doggone it, people like me. Yeah, that's not your job. But there was what I want to know is, what is it that they were doing, what they thought that Donald Trump was going to start a war? Were anything other than they don't like Donald Trump? In all of the stories that I've read, there is nothing that is like when Donald Trump said, let's draw up a plan to invade Beijing. There's nothing in there. There's none of that. It's just straight up, we thought Donald Trump might start a war. That's not really good. Your women's intuition, your spidey sense tingling, is not not a pass to violate the Constitution. It's just not. Yet that seems to be what Milley did. And now he was in cahoots with Nancy Pelosi. He's having phone calls with Nancy Pelosi as well. She has to answer some questions. Well, she won't have to. But she should have to answer some questions, because if the parties were reversed, and let's say the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, were sitting there talking to any general going, you know, Joe Biden, he's not all there. Because, well, Joe Biden is not all there. Joe Biden is not all there, and maybe you need to start usurping some power. Except, of course, the person he'd be talking to is General Milley, who disgraced himself and proved himself to not be a man of honor in the way in which he participated in, silently, in the retreat from Afghanistan. Make no mistake, it was a retreat. It was not a withdrawal. It was a retreat. We left Americans behind. And General Milley thinks that's perfectly fine and acceptable and okay. And, hey, you got to do what you got to do sort of thing. So you've established thoroughly that Milley is not a man of honor. He doesn't take his oath very seriously. And he probably would have made a great Nazi. In fact, while accusing everybody else of being a Nazi. It's kind of how things are. If you go back to July 14th of 2021, again in the Washington Post, Joint Chiefs Chairman feared potential Reichstag moment aimed at keeping Trump in power. General Milley, well then why didn't you resign again? Your duty is not to usurp the power of the president whenever you see fit. It is to serve the president, whoever the president is. And if you find yourself incapable of doing that, your honor, if you had any, would necessitate you resigning. You didn't, which means either you didn't feel it was necessary or you don't have any honor. I personally believe it is that you don't have any honor. The story back in July, in the waning weeks of Donald Trump's term, the country's top military leader repeatedly worried about what the president might do to maintain power after losing a re-election, comparing his rhetoric to Adolf Hitler during the rise of Nazi Germany and asking confidants whether a coup was forthcoming, according to a new book. This is insane. This is a general who is letting his personal political beliefs dictate how he does his job, which makes him incredibly dangerous to the stability and security of this country, which is why he has to go. His actions, the mentality is why he has to go. His actions are why he needs to be tried for treason. He needs to be drummed out of the military, not just allowed to retire. But there isn't a single Democrat out there who gives a damn about this. Reverse the parties, and oh my God, all hell would break loose. They would absolutely freak out. But the parties aren't reversed, and we're dealing with Donald Trump here. So who cares, right? The Constitution be damned. Civil order be damned. The will of the people, the democracy. This is what democracy looks like, people. Watching a general who made his first call to our Chinese communist enemies before the 2020 election. Before the election. Before the election. So what did General Milley know, and when did he know it? And why was he calling up to reassure our enemies before he knew there was anything that he would have ultimately felt the need to reassure them about. They don't say. Nobody knows. No one will say. Because they are progressives first and foremost. Milley described a, quote, stomach-churning feeling as he listened to Trump's untrue complaints about election fraud, the Post reports, drawing comparisons to the 1933 attack on Germany's parliament building that Hitler used as a pretext to establish a Nazi dictatorship. Quote, this is a Reichstag moment, Milley told aides, according to the book, The Gospel of the Fuhrer. Calling the duly elected president of the United States, who's still president of the United States at this time, the Fuhrer. Meanwhile, he's actually plotting the coup himself. Should it become necessary, should Trump do something he doesn't like, he will then impose his will, with the power of the military behind him, over the will of the American people, because it's for our own good. Can you imagine that? And he's celebrated as a hero. He is viewed as a hero. We go to Morning Joe this morning. Joe Scarborough, sitting next to his third wife, Mika Brzezinski, who they swear they were not fooling around while they were still married to other people, but they were totally fooling around while they were still married to other people. I saw them at like the 2012 convention, I think it was. There's no way they weren't fooling. If they weren't fooling around, then their former spouses are very, very tolerant of just how friendly they were allowed to be with other people. Just saying. They weren't hiding it. They weren't hiding it at all. Mojo there, he's very, very in love. He thinks it's awesome what Milley did. He thinks it's great. It's a good thing. Because Joe assumes the worst about anybody who isn't a Democrat. He's, of course, supposedly a conservative, but don't worry about that. He looks at what General Milley did and says, yeah, that more of that, please. What we really need is when the president is doing something that I don't like, we need to have somebody, particularly in the military there, to stand up and stop them from doing anything, even though nothing was ever attempted. Nothing was ever attempted. That's an important point to make here, is that nothing was ever actually attempted here. Now, I want to get to this audio of Mojo, Morning Joe, and the defense of General Mark Milley. Just to refresh, I want to read this quote. This is, again, from the Washington Post yesterday. And General Milley twice calling... his Chinese communist counterpart. Who knows? His fellow traveler, turns out. Calling his Chinese communist counterpart, General Li Xiaojing of the People's Liberation Army, an enemy of the United States of America, if there ever was one. And General Milley wanted to make sure, because he allegedly, according to the book, the Chinese were afraid that maybe the United States was going to attack the communists because they were maybe going to do some kinetic exercises with Taiwan. Now, wouldn't you want your enemy to be a little bit worried? Wouldn't you want your enemy? I can reassure them publicly, we're just doing these exercises. But behind the scenes, you want them to think, oh, good Lord, are these guys going to come after us? What's going on here? That's what you want. You want to keep your enemies guessing. Unless, apparently, you're a member of, or you're the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and then you want to give the enemies a heads up. So he called General Li, spelled I-E, General Li, I want to assure you that the American government is stable and everything is going to be okay. We are not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you. Well, right there. It's treason. And it doesn't matter that he was telling the truth, or that he was telling what was told in the public. What matters is that he was not authorized to speak to our enemies, and certainly not authorized to speak to our enemies on behalf of the President of the United States. He did this secretly. Then it goes on, in the book's account, Millie went so far as to pledge he would alert his counterpart in the event of a U.S. attack, stressing the rapport they'd established through a back channel. Quote, General Lee, you and I have known each other now for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. End quote. Right there. Again, another act of treason. And that is an even worse act of treason because he is then pledging loyalty to the enemies of the United States of America. Don't worry, if the United States of America, the civilian leadership of the United States of America, the duly elected president of the United States of America, if they determine, for whatever reason, that attacking China is in our national security interests, I will give you a heads up. That shows that he is willing to side with our enemies. More than that, he's willing to side with our enemies against our soldiers, because who would he be betraying if he were to give that that tip-off? He'd be betraying and putting at risk our soldiers, right? They're going to invade just east of Hong Kong, so get ready for it. Get up there. Don't worry. You know, be ready. Be prepared to just bomb the hell out of them, General Lee. I told you I'd give you the heads up, comrade. We're all in this together. We must defeat that horrible, horrible capitalism. It's disgusting. He should be arrested and tried for treason. People have been executed for much less. Now people are celebrated for this. Morning Joe this morning, Joe Scarborough, is standing there next to Mika. Mika's looking glassy and confused as always. That's what she, I don't know if she's on too much lithium or what, but she's just never there. Joe is really mad. He's mad that anybody would have a problem with what General Milley did. He's mad. How dare anybody do this? What's the problem? He's just, Donald Trump was a madman who had to be stopped. Everybody knows that. You need to just calm the hell down. Listen to this first clip here. Cut one, go.
They're upset that he's calling a leader in China saying, don't think you can take advantage of the United States of America. Democracy can be chaotic, but we're strong, we're solid, we're in good shape. Nothing's going to happen. We're not going to act erratically, and you're not going to take advantage of us. I'm sorry, Republicans don't like this? Mm. This is something, are you so stupid? I just got to ask, are you so stupid? Are you so ignorant of how things work? That you don't know that from time to time, generals talk to generals, diplomats talk to diplomats, and they send that message, hey, things look kind of crazy in the United States right now. Don't take advantage of this situation. Don't take advantage of it, because we're solid. This is something you want a guy to be fired for? Can you grow up a little bit? I'm asking, seriously, can you stop playing for your Twitter feed or the lowest common denominator? Like, in your district?
Yeah. Mr. Mature right there. Can you stop doing that? Can you stop playing for your Twitter feed? Says a guy who's playing to his dwindling audience. Pandering. That's not at all what Milley was doing. Milley didn't call up China and warn them, Joe. He called up China and tried to reassure them. It wasn't, don't you dare take advantage of this, because there was no threat of China going, now we're going to make our move on Taiwan. That wasn't what happened. That wasn't even being discussed. That isn't what was going on. So what in the hell is Joe talking about? He is as dumb as his wife is. The vacuum between her ears is apparently sucking anything that was between his out of his head as well. It is unbelievable to take this and look at all of the evidence and all of the reporting on this. This is General Milley being so upset at Donald Trump's existence that he actively decides to call the Chinese Communist general. Not he hears that, oh my God, China's going to make a move. They're going for Taiwan. No. We got to make sure that we're going to stop that. Nope. Not at all. Not at all. It's straight up, don't worry, we're going to get rid of this guy soon. we aren't going to do anything with you. Now, what was going on at this time? Same thing is going on now. There's a worldwide pandemic that the Chinese Communist government is responsible for. And that's the rhetoric that Milley said it was beyond the pale and very concerning and might have the Chinese Communists upset. He's pointing out that the Chinese Communists unleashed the coronavirus on the world. Right? That rhetoric is so beyond the pale, so dangerous, that that is why Milley says he felt compelled, or why the book says he Milley felt compelled, to call up his counterpart because of the heated rhetoric from Donald Trump to reassure them. Nowhere in there, Joe, does it say anything about China taking advantage of it. Oh, man, we're finally going to execute more Uyghurs or something. No, no. They couldn't execute more Uyghurs without permission from Nike anyway. They need Nike to sign off because they've got to have enough workers to continue making their shoes. But Joe wasn't done. Joe wasn't. Stupidity is rarely ever done. Not in one shot anyway. He continues.
Because this is really about America's national security, and I'm absolutely fascinated by the fact that you're attacking a general for telling China, you better not take advantage of us because the United States is strong. Things get messy once in a while, but that's called democracy, something that you don't know anything about. But China, let me assure you, America is just fine. We're not going to start wars, and we're not going to let you take advantage of us.
We're not going to let you take it. What were they going to take advantage of? Nothing. Nothing. There's no reporting that China was ready to pounce. China was ready to do this, that, or the other thing. It's just Joe making things up. Like, oh, General Milley, he's really going to watch out for that. He's looking out for the American people. He's a hero. They throw that word hero around all the time, but not all heroes wear capes. A lot of them wear, like, their carpal tunnel service ribbon on their chest. They're a hero. Yeah, a keyboard warrior. I got carpal tunnel, two of them, because I had carpal tunnel in both hands at separate times and had to have the surgery there. That's how I made general, was all these ribbons. It's insane that Joe would go on television to make this argument. Not surprising, but insane. And that nobody on Morning Joe bothered to read the story, bothered to go, wait a second. He promised to tip off the Chinese communists if we did anything. All right? You can say we're never going to do anything because we were never going to do anything. We were not going to attack China. But if we were going to, this general said, "Don't worry, I got your back, commie." It's kind of a problem, don't you think? But it's not a problem for Morning Joe. It's heroic. As a matter of fact, he continues. Cut three. Go ahead.
Now, if you want to attack General Milley because he was sending a message to China that they better not try to take advantage of the United States of America, you put yourself on that side of history. My God, some of you are already on the side of covering up an insurrection against the United States government. So I guess really you might as well double down. You might as well keep playing your game as a day trader politically, and see how poorly that works for you.
My God. My God, he's a hero. And you're going to do this and that. He's the hero here, General Milley. Don't you get it? Don't you get that the president was Donald Trump? Chain of command be damned. Sure, he went over to the Pentagon and he convened the generals and he told them that if any order basically comes from the President of the United States, they need to not implement it. They need to call him first. Now, what caused this? What was the thing that got General Milley's panties in a bunch? Well, the one before the election was just that he's a left-wing jerk and he's sympathetic to China. But the one after the election in December, apparently after the election, this is what they cite in the book. Donald Trump had signed an order to have the troops withdrawn from Afghanistan by the middle of January. Now, the troops withdrawn from Afghanistan by the middle of January, and of course the military industrial, the geniuses that brought you the disaster that cost 13 American military members their lives, that left hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans behind, and certainly tens of thousands of Afghans who'd worked with us behind and managed to snatch up just random Afghans. Those geniuses were horrified that Donald Trump would try to move up the date to leave Afghanistan to before he left office. Now, why would Donald Trump do that? You could make two arguments. It could be that Donald Trump wanted the glory. Okay, I'd probably give that some credence. But it could also be that Donald Trump recognized that Joe Biden was incompetent and that his military advisors around him really were not interested in withdrawing from Afghanistan. And he thought, well, Joe Biden's probably going to cave to them or do such a horrible job that I want this out now. It's the winter. It's not the fighting season. We can get it done. And that upset General Milley. He apparently wanted the opportunity to get 13 Americans killed. And he got it. I don't know if the 13 Americans getting killed was enough for General Milley, or if he wishes he could have gotten more. That's something he'd have to answer for himself. But it's pretty clear that he did not want Donald Trump going out there. And I could see Donald Trump saying, I don't trust Joe Biden to actually do this. Certainly not to do it right. So let's get it done. That upset General Milley to the point that he decided that he had to take things into his own hands and subvert the chain of command and stop that. He stopped that, by the way. That means, just if you're playing the home game, the 13 dead servicemen and women killed at the hands of terrorists, that blood is not only on Joe Biden's hands because he followed these idiots' advice, but it's squarely on General Milley's hands because he stopped, prevented, headed off at the pass, the withdrawal of the troops by mid-January. Let that sink in. Try to live with that, General. One more cut. He should be tried for incompetence for that one, too. One more cut here from Morning Joe as he's having an aneurysm, freaking out over the fact that some people might have a problem that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff decided to basically collude with the Chinese communists.
As for me, as for most Americans, we are glad that General Milley stood up and told the Chinese, the United States of America is just fine. Things get a little chaotic in democracies. Don't try to take advantage of us.
Yeah, we're just so grateful that General Milley headed off at the pass, something that he didn't head off at the pass, something that wasn't happening, and thoughts that weren't occurring in China. Congratulations, Joe. He just set up a straw man and set it on fire right there in the studios of MSNBC. Because nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that at all. General Milley went rogue on this one because he didn't like Donald Trump, as evidenced by his conversations about how Donald Trump is like Hitler. Donald Trump is like Hitler. The left has been saying that forever. Donald Trump is like Hitler. If you look at what Joe Biden is doing and what they accuse Donald Trump of doing, who's the fascist? Which one is forcing people to do things with their body that they don't like or telling them they'll lose their job? Threaten, obey me or lose your job. Which one was dictating to companies policies and how they should govern themselves? It wasn't Donald Trump. It wasn't Donald Trump. It was Joe Biden. Who's Hitler here, General? Find a reflective surface. Then do some reflecting, and then maybe resign, or worse. President of the United States is President of the United States until they're no longer President of the United States. General Milley wanted Trump gone, hated Trump. This one comes from CNN about the Afghanistan mess. New Woodward Costa book, colon, Trump secret memo ordering withdrawal from Afghanistan blindsided national security team. How would it blindside the national security? You'd have to have lived with your head in your rectum for it to not have been known to you that the President of the United States wanted to get out of Afghanistan. He'd already given the order once, and what happened? The Pentagon thwarted it. Oh, no, we can't do that. How did they thwart it? They did it with that bogus, the Russians are putting bounties on U.S. troops' heads over there. You can't leave now, not with that. It was a fake story, made up, but it was the intelligence community going, we can't possibly, we're not ready to give up our war. 20 years isn't enough. So CNN reports, just 8 days after the 2018 election, then-President Donald Trump was so determined to end the war in Afghanistan during his presidency that he secretly signed a memo to withdraw all troops by January 15th, 2021, according to the book Peril, blah, 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 by those people. The November 11th memo, according to the authors, had been secretly drafted by two Trump loyalists and never went through the normal process of a military directive. The Secretary of Defense, National Security Advisor, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff had all never seen it. Who cares? The President of the United States. There's normal. Oh, this is normal. This is how things are usually done. So what? President of the United States gets to decide how things are done. Unpredictable, impulsive. Trump had done an end run around his whole national security team. Maybe because a lot of members of that national security team had been actively working against him for 4 years trying to end the Afghanistan war. Maybe that's why. Maybe you shouldn't waste your time with these people, right? In a remarkable scene, the authors write, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, newly appointed Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller, and his new Chief of Staff, Kash Patel, were all blindsided when the memo arrived at the Pentagon. Woodward and Costa reported the memo in Peril. The directive was titled Memorandum for the Acting Secretary of Defense, Withdrawal from Somalia and Afghanistan. And the memo read, quote, I hereby direct you to withdraw all U.S. troops from the Federal Republic of Somalia no later than 31 December 2020, and from the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan no later than 15 January 2021. Inform all allied and partner forces of the directives. Please confirm receipt of this order, end quote. There's the entirety of the memo. Pretty unambiguous, right? Well, Milley studied the memo and announced he was headed over to the White House to confront Trump. To confront Trump. This is the arrogance of General Milley. Milley, whatever, however you pronounce it. Quote, this is really effed up, and I'm going to see the president. I'm heading over. You guys can come or not, Milley told Miller and Patel, who joined him on the trip across the Potomac, according to the book. At the White House, the three men paid a surprise visit to National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien and showed him the signed memo. How did this happen? Milley asked O'Brien, according to the book. Was there any process here at all? How does a president do this? Milley, a president does this by being elected, you jackass. You arrogant piece of garbage. That's how. Not by kissing enough butt to get a bunch of stars and ribbons on your chest. No, you actually have to be elected. Sorry you don't like our system of government. Maybe you should have paid attention to the oath you swore. O'Brien looked into the memo and said, I have no idea, according to the authors. What do you mean you have no idea? You're the National Security Advisor to the President, and the Secretary of Defense didn't know about this, and the Chief of Staff to the Secretary of Defense didn't know about this, the Chairman didn't know. How the hell does this happen? Because the President doesn't answer to you, General. You answer to the President. You're supposed to. Anyway, and the fact that you didn't, you can question it, you can dislike it, but if you can't execute your orders, or if you think that your orders are immoral or illegal, you have one method of recourse, and that is resignation. Not refusal. Resignation. Then you can go to the cameras, the bank of cameras that will be filled with adoring cameramen and journalists sitting there, and you can tell them whatever you want, and whatever you say, no matter how full of bovine excrement it is, they will dutifully regurgitate it to the American public ad nauseum. You'll be offered a book deal by the time your press conference is over. But no, you don't get to just say, I don't like this, I don't approve. I don't give a damn. This is part of the reason, again, why this guy has to be removed from office. This guy is guilty of attempted coup, usurpation, dereliction of duty, not adhering to his oath of office, and, dare I say, treason for collaborating with our enemy and offering reassurance, aid and comfort, if you will, to an enemy of the United States of America. What the punishment for that should be will be up to a jury, but it should be should include the possibility of the ultimate punishment. If this guy does this, what's to stop the next guy from doing it? And what's the justification for if it's somebody else does it? Millie did it. Why do I have to care? What does it matter? Millie got away with it. Then we're what? We're no longer a representative republic. We're no longer free. We are now at the whim of the military. If the military likes what the president is doing, then fine, the president will be allowed to do it. If the military doesn't like what the president is doing, then, well, not so much. There's no veto power for the military in our Constitution. There should be no veto power for our military in practice. Somebody's got to pay. A whole bunch of heads need to roll over this. Millie's is just the tip of the iceberg. Let's talk to Greg in Overly. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a small problem here.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're basing your assumption or your whole argument on that everything Bob Woodward wrote in that book is true.
Yeah.
And until we get some kind of verification that any of it is true.
Is there not a court? Is that not a purpose of a court martial? Isn't a court martial a trial? Isn't that an investigation?
Well, I agree with all that. And I agree most of the Biden administration should be put under scrutiny, and they should be looked at for violating their oath of office.
By the way, this isn't just from Woodward and what's his face, the other guy. There's another book from earlier this year called I Alone Can Fix It. There was another book that the first story about General Milley comparing the president to Hitler came from.
Well, yes, I remember all that also. But still, we have to keep in mind, just like Donald Trump said, if the accusations in this book are true, then he should be forced to pay consequences.
Right.
At this point in time, not even the president, former president, can say for sure that any of this ever really happened, and he does not believe Woodward is reliable.
Well, the president was on Newsmax last night saying that Milley needs to be fired over this.
Well, I'm not saying he should not be fired.
So then the former president isn't saying that none of this happened.
Well, he did say, and I heard it repeated many times, that if what's reported in this book is true,
well, if what the part that President Trump doesn't know about, Greg, is the part of the general calling the Chinese communist general.
Do we know that actually happened, without a doubt?
Nobody has denied it. So wouldn't you believe it?
Well, yes, to a point, but just like in the Michael Flynn
situation. Well, you'd be a great juror, Greg. I appreciate the phone call, but I'm not going to sit here and argue semantics point by point. You either investigate it, all right? Right now, there are multi-millions of dollars being launched by the Justice Department investigations and the New York State Attorney General against the Trump Organization. For what? Nothing. Just to find out if they did anything wrong. That's what they're doing. If you want to sit there and say, well, that's wrong, that's fine, that's wrong. It's a reality. It's wrong, it shouldn't be done, but it's the reality. If you're not willing to hold liberals to the same standards, you have to have an accusation, you have to have reporting. If General Milley wants to come out and hold a press conference today and say, I never in my whole life ever did anything like this, this is an outrage, and I deny these charges, he's free to do that. That wouldn't put it to bed. An investigation has to be launched. These are serious allegations. And the fact that I played you Morning Joe shows you how the Democrats are. All the Democrats are not looking at this seriously as, well, these are serious allegations that we must investigate. They're looking at it as saying, well, Milley was only doing the right thing because Donald Trump was a dangerous man. You have the Speaker of the House encouraging the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to subvert the chain of command, to subvert the chain of command, to usurp the power of the president of the United States because she didn't like the president. And you had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff going, yeah, we should do that. Did that happen? Probably. We should ask the Speaker of the House, but the Speaker of the House isn't ever going to be put under oath for this because she would have to be put under oath by the House of Representatives. That's never going to happen. No Democrat in the House is going to subpoena the Speaker of the House. They're not going to subpoena Nancy Pelosi. The Senate won't subpoena Nancy Pelosi because they have all these protocols. So one branch does not do the other. We're bicameral and we're equal and we wouldn't do that. So we're never going to have Nancy Pelosi under oath, except maybe in a court of law or in a court-martial where General Milley or the prosecutor could call her. You got to get to that point. To sit around and go, well, you can't have an investigation, you can't really do anything, you don't know unless somebody confesses. Well, yeah, you'd never know unless until somebody confesses. You have to ask the questions. You have to start asking the questions. And there's nobody in the media asking the questions. And there's nobody in the Justice Department asking these questions. If they won't do it, we've got to do it. It's that simple. There will be no consequences for Mark Milley because the liberal mindset will not allow for it. He did it for their cause. He did it for their guy. He did it against Donald Trump. It doesn't matter what you do. Just like all of those BLM Antifa people killed 48 people, billions of dollars in business, destruction you can't imagine, violence against anybody who stood in their way, anybody who disagreed with them, just absolute straight-up violence from Portland to New York. And the charges were dropped against them. Started back on election day or inauguration day in 2017, Donald Trump's inauguration. There were hundreds of arrests because the left-wing mob, the brown shirts, the Democratic Party, went crazy. They got violent. They destroyed businesses. They destroyed vehicles. They destroyed property. They attacked people. When an acceptable amount of time had passed, somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 months, the charges started being dropped. Oh, yeah, they were arrested. They were arrested. And then the charges started being dropped. Inexplicably. All of them. They can say, well, hey, against some of them, they couldn't mount a particularly effective case. I might believe you. You're telling me you couldn't mount an effective case against any of them? Against any of them? It's on video. There they are. Actually physically doing it. And you're telling me you couldn't mount a case on that. No, they could mount a case on that. They just didn't care to. It's their team. Gotta let your team go. Gotta let your team go. That's why you got homeless junkies and losers and degenerates from sea to shining sea where prosecutors are looking at, hey, man, there's a tent city down there right next to that school, and there's needles all over the place. They're just junkies shooting up heroin, and they go, well, you know, we're not going to do anything about that. Why? Well, that would be wrong. We're disproportionately penalize people of color. And you're going, how do you know that? So you think that people of color are junkies? Like, they're just junkies? That's what you think? How's that not racist? No, no questioning. Can't question that. Don't bother questioning that. Learn your place. Shut up. We're not going to put anybody away for those things. But if you go to a school board meeting and you talk about how you think critical race theory has no place in your elementary school, and you would like, instead of your children being taught, you know, infinite number of genders, you'd like them to be able to read and write and do math, why, then suddenly the government's going to start paying a particular interest in you. You are subversive. You're part of the problem. It's nuts. Republicans have to get really serious about what's going on here. It's not isolated when it happens all the time. It is not in one particular area of the economy or in society if it happens from coast to coast on just about every issue. If people are held in solitary confinement because they entered the Capitol on January 6th and they're held there for 9 months, and other people beat holy hell out of somebody, smash buildings, try to kill police officers, and their charges are dropped. We do not have equal justice under law. We do not have anything close to that. We have mob rule. It's just their mob. And sooner or later, something really terrible is going to happen. And it's probably going to be justified. And it will be used to justify something even worse happening. Mark my words. I honestly don't know how these people live with themselves. These leftists, the Ginger Goebbels and the like. I get she's got a job to do. And I've done that job. I've been press secretary for somebody with whom I didn't agree 100%. You don't agree with anybody 100%. You just don't. You can't. It's not possible. You probably don't agree with yourself 100% of the time. You change over time. But you sit there and you go, all right, well, the job is to sell whatever it is this person is selling. They're the elected ones. So I have to do that. So I can understand that to a certain extent. But you have to have some kind of principles. There has to be some point at which you look at what's going on and you go, you know what, I can't do this. This isn't right. Or maybe we could do this another way. But no. No, they're not. Ginger Goebbels just had the White House press briefing and was asked about Mark Milley, the traitorous general, a new Benedict Arnold. Actually, Benedict Arnold had the decency to at least go and join the enemy. This is like inviting a spy. This is like the Democrats putting Eric Swalwell on the Intelligence Committee. That's what they do. Let's put Eric Swalwell on the Intelligence Committee. Yeah, he's sleeping with Fang Fang over there. But you know what? What are you going to do? Let's just keep him on the Intelligence Committee. Like, okay, he's already betrayed this country. It's like keeping the Dianne Feinstein on the Senate Intelligence Committee for so long when she had a Chinese spy as a driver for 20 years. Like, yeah, well, what are you going to do? Really? That's how it is? Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Donald Trump sends one tweet and everything in the world is just horrible, and how do we live with ourselves here now? And they have a pattern, a history of these activities, and they go, well, what are you going to do? So Ginger Goebbels was asked about the situation at the White House press briefing, and she could not stop singing the praises of General Arnold. I mean, General Milley. Cut six. Go ahead.
A new book reports that near the end of the Trump presidency, Chairman Milley had two conversations with his Chinese counterpart, promising the countries would not go to war and that he would give an early warning if something were to happen. In a statement just minutes ago, Chairman Milley did not dispute this account. On this, does the president feel that these calls were appropriate? Does he have confidence in the chairman? And some Republican senators have called for Chairman Milley to be dismissed. Is he going to keep his job?
Well, I saw the statement, of course, that the Department of Defense, or I should say the Joint Chiefs spokesperson, just released minutes ago. I'm not going to add more or speak to anonymous, unconfirmed reports about conversations with limited context from here. But what I can assure you all of is that the president knows General Milley. He has been chairman of the Joint Chiefs for almost 8 months of his presidency. They've worked side by side through a range of international events. And the president has complete confidence in his leadership, his patriotism, and his fidelity to our Constitution.
Complete confidence in his patriotism and fidelity to the Constitution. What? What about the reports gives you that, makes you think that? Well, the only thing is, he did it for us. He's a traitor, sure, but he's our traitor. You know, he hates Donald Trump just like everybody. He knows the secret handshake. That's all you really need to know, is he knows the secret handshake. So, yeah, he, you know, promised to tip off our enemies. But, you know, still, who wouldn't? When the alternative is Donald Trump. Is China really the enemy, I ask you? You know, if Donald Trump had been the Prime Minister of the UK during World War II, who among us would not have chosen to side with Germany? Because the real Hitler would not have been Hitler, but in fact would have been Donald Trump. That's how bad he is. That's how massively awful he is. And why he must be. So, yeah, Milley, you know, betrayed the country, betrayed his oath, betrayed the Constitution, whatever. He did it for the most noble of causes. The progressive agenda. Now, that surprisingly wasn't enough. And there was a follow-up question from, I believe this is NBC News. I can't remember the woman's name. She's a red-headed reporter. Asking Ginger Goebbels about this. And Ginger Goebbels is sticking to her script. You got to admire the way that she is unflappable. That she will not be deterred by any other reality out there. No matter how real it is. She's got her marching orders. And like a good little Nazi, she is going to follow it. Cut 7. Go ahead.
Even if the president believes that the intentions and the patriotism of General Milley were in line with his own values, is there a point where criticism makes General Milley unable to continue in this role because it is a new administration, it's a new day, and there are some questions about if he exceeded his authority?
Well, again, the president has complete confidence in his leadership, his patriotism, and his fidelity to our Constitution. I can't speak to the former president's experience with him or the former president's views of him. But this current president, who follows the Constitution, who's not fomenting an insurrection, who follows the rule of law, has complete confidence in Chairman Milley and him continuing to serve in his role.
It's amazing. It's absolutely, I don't know, I can't speak to whatever. No, because even NBC News, there are questions about this, because, you know, it's not his job. He's not elected to a damn thing. He has no constitutional authority whatsoever. His job is to serve the President of the United States, and here he is conspiring with our enemies. Is that a problem at all for anybody in this White House? No. Joe Biden has complete confidence in that. What does Milley do when he meets with Joe Biden? Does he bring him like a secret tub of Elmer's glue so Joe can eat it? Like, that seems to be right around the mental capacity of Joe Biden. Here, General Milley brought you another circle of paper, some safety scissors, 3 different colors of crayons this time. So try not to go too, don't be overwhelmed. And some Elmer's glue for you to eat, Mr. President. Oh, all right. Well, I have complete confidence in this guy who has betrayed this country and betrayed his oath and put the lives, promised to put the lives of American servicemen and women in danger. And actually, since he did thwart President Trump's efforts to have the troops withdrawn from Afghanistan by January 15th of this year, he then does have actually the blood of 13 men and women in uniform on his hands, plus whatever else he's done throughout his career. I'm sure you don't just become super incompetent at the end of your career. Like Joe Biden. Yes, he's super incompetent, but Joe Biden's been wildly incompetent his entire career. He's been dumb his entire career. I assume the same is true for General Milley. And as such, we get in the Wayback Machine, go back to 2015. It's a simpler time. Barack Obama was president of the United States. Joe Biden was vice president of the United States. So, you know, we had nothing but utopic peace here on planet Earth, and in particular in the United States of America. General Milley was not the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was the chief of staff of the Army. So he'd still had more butts to kiss. And the butts he was kissing were of Barack Obama and probably Joe Biden, although only by accident, because I imagine Joe Biden sticks his butt in a lot of people's faces. And he was at a security conference, and he's asked about China. Now, you don't have to say much, especially if you're in a position like a general would be. You have the option of saying, you know, well, you are not elected to a damn thing. So I'm not going to really give my opinion on these situations that deal with the rest of the world. I'm not going to do that. But and then you can just regurgitate general boilerplate stuff. Instead, General Milley decides to pontificate about economic growth of China, and whether or not China is an enemy. There's no doubt that China is an enemy. They are a communist country. They have worldwide ambitions. In just that sense, they are an enemy. They're also oppressing, Hong Kong at the time. They still have designs on China. They are building islands in the South China Sea so that they can claim that area as their own. They are committing, and even in 2015, were committing overt hostile acts against the United States, against the Great Britain, against all of our allies. To say that they're not an enemy is asinine. But then again, to be asinine is apparently to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Here is Mark Milley in 2015.
You alluded to in the previous question, China's not an enemy. And I think that's important for people to clearly understand. China is a rising power. China has been a rising power since Deng Xiaoping in 79, and they've been clicking off at 10% growth for almost 30 years, and they dropped down to about 7% last year or two, and they'll probably drop again, and come into the range of normalcy and 3 to 5% growth. But that's still significant economic growth. And there's been a really large historic change from a North Atlantic-based global economy to now it's proceeding to be a North Pacific-based global economy.
Yeah, oh, wait, China's not really an enemy. No, really? The largest communist nation on the planet isn't an enemy? Then who is an enemy? I would ask the general, who is an enemy if the largest communist country on the face of the earth isn't an enemy? I get, yeah, the radical Islamic terrorists, but then again, General Milley doesn't really even see them as a threat. He views conservatives as a threat. People he labels as extremists, white nationalists. If you're white and you like the country, you're a white nationalist. That's the way the left works. You're white, you like this country, you're obviously a white nationalist. You must be destroyed. They're sick people. They need to be run out of power. They need to be prosecuted. Milley needs to be prosecuted. The book needs to be thrown at him. Instead, the book will be written by him. He will be a hero. Plain and simple. He will be martyred on the altar of nothing, because he won't even be martyred. He will just be granted martyr status by Joe and Mika. They'll have a ceremony. Rachel Maddow will preside over it, and Joe Biden will come out and wonder what the hell is going on and how he got there in the first place. It's pretty sick. Really sick, as a matter of fact. These people deserve whatever bad things happen to them. I mean that with all sincerity. All right, that is enough for today. Now that I figured out what the hell the problem was with the microphone and everything, and the sound will be better and a better quality tomorrow, that I assure you. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Thursday. It's almost Friday. My God, I'll see you then.